this is one of work's greatest pastimes.
Oh.
Yet according to the story, we're not doing it anymore.
Really?
So one of two things here are true.
Hmm.
Either A, we are not as vocal as we used to be about the things we don't like where we work, or B, this is something that people in the greater Rochester area excel in, where people in other parts of the country are afraid to do.
Why us?
There could be a history.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, we have a problem with glossing at work.
What is glossing?
Glossing is a new term.
Something you put on your lips?
No. According to several PhDs, a study they did, it refers to glossing over the issues that you have at your job.
Oh.
You are glossing.
So just kind of ignoring them?
Exhibiting,
just dealing with them.
Exhibiting optimism and dismissing and refusing to discuss the difficulties. You don't complain.
Okay.
You don't talk about it with your coworkers. You keep it all inside.
Okay. That's what we're doing now?
According to this study, 7 in 10 Americans believe they are currently working in a toxic environment. 8 in 10 Americans say their jobs are not doing enough to support their mental health. Yet, the majority of us, according to this study, are keeping our mouths shut about it with the people that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell kind of study is this?
I don't know.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Thank you. You tell me people stop complaining about the things they don't like at their job?
Especially the younger generation seems more open about what they do and don't want in their jobs. I mean, they were kind of in the driver's seat after COVID because they were trying to hire people. Nobody wanted to come in. They
say nobody wanted to work anymore. It's so funny.
No one
are you making an old man argument and trying to make it sound like not old man?
Can't find a good man under 50, I say.
All these kids do is bitch. Nobody wants to work anymore. What I noticed coming out of COVID is
you got pool tables and beer bars. Bong hits over here.
You were saying, Kimmy?
Well, I was going to say, I don't know if the new generation entering the workforce, I don't know if they're necessarily addressing those issues. They're just moving on to jobs where they feel like those issues are fixed.
Okay, you know that's what I mean? Interesting
take. They're more likely to get into a job, realize this isn't what I thought it was, or this isn't for me. So instead of trying to fix it, they're just like, screw it, I'm moving on to something else.
That's a good take.
So what do you think?
Now, by the way, I want to be clear before we get into the meat of this conversation. This study doesn't just refer to going to your boss and saying this is a problem.
Mm.
It refers to complaining to your coworkers.
But you don't even talk to them about it.
You know, there's no bitch.
Interesting.
So if this study rings true nationally in America, it means one of two things.
What?
A, people have stopped complaining to coworkers at their job about their bosses, other coworkers, their workload, incompetence, things like that, out of fear. Or we in Rochester do this way more than any other community in America.
Like we're open about what sucks.
Personally, I have never had a job in this town that did not involve everyone who worked there bitching about things.
Well, yeah.
To each other.
How else are you supposed to bond with your coworkers?
Thank you. No, I'm serious.
I mean, it's been since day one any job I've ever had.
Yeah.
We have the greatest job in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of us bitch constantly.
Yeah.
Point out stuff. Even the stuff that doesn't even involve us.
We will text each other outside of the show to bitch.
Yeah.
It's just part of having a job. And like Kimmy said, it bonds you with your coworkers.
Yeah.
Yes. Is it the people in the greater Rochester community? Is that why we're so accustomed to this? Because there was an expectation from people that are ages 30 to 50 that we had when we were kids that we grew up and was not met.
Yeah.
Our parents, if they wanted to, could walk out of high school and go get a job at Kodak, Xerox, all these other types of places.
Yeah, right.
Live comfortably.
Great job security, cars, stay-at-home spouse, vacations.
American dream.
Yeah, and that went away. And look, that happens. I get the world's a different place now. But it'll definitely chap your ass.
Oh, yeah.
When some old guy who was napping in his Kodak job wants to tell you your generation don't work hard enough, and he was sitting there just living high off the hog, and we're busting our asses. All you want to do is complain. I mean, I understand why there would be bitterness there, which would lead to everybody in Rochester bitching about everything all the time.
Right.
Fair
so,
take?
Yeah, but so, all right, so, guys like me, dinosaurs, we're all aging out, right?
Sure.
So when we're completely gone, it'll be your generation will be that generation.
Yeah.
You'll be the new dinosaurs.
Yeah.
How do y'all handle that?
It's a good question, because there's going to be something the younger generation likes.
It's going to piss you off.
And they're going to be pissed off at something we did.
Right.
Right? Because we don't know what that is yet.
Right.
You'll be sitting there with your fat salaries and your flannel shirts and your baseball caps term backwards for a Quebec Nordique hockey team driving your rich-eyed Honda.
It's getting very specific here. I feel like this is getting personal.
In general.
I also love how you
doing
say,
your bong hits in your downtown home with your firefighter husband.
I also love how you say fat salaries. Like, they're going to continue to pay us like the way that you guys
but
got
your
paid.
Fat,
you
know, your salary will look fat to that kid.
You're right.
The same,
You're right.
It's just this vicious cycle.
It's all relative.
You know what it could be,
too? Well, your relatives, too. Sure.
It could also, I could see the younger generation, because like I do feel
Queen
like
flannel
we,
over here piping up. Go ahead.
I do feel like we bond with coworkers, and I think that the younger generation is better at separating work from, you know, outside friendships and hobbies. So like we may want to be their friends and they may not want to be our friends. Okay. And that is where the division may happen.
It's another good, Kimmy's on fire this morning. Yeah. It's another good take. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Do you work at a place where no one complains? And I'm serious. I'm dying to know.
This doesn't seem natural.
How does that work? And I guess the bigger question is
like North Korea, like tire factory.
And even if you're happy with your job, people still complain.
They need tires. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Who do you bitch to? How do you blow off steam?
Exactly. And let's go back to something that Kimmy touched on a second ago.
What's that?
Bonding with your coworkers over the complaining. Mm. Here is the question. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Do you trust the people at your job that don't complain?
Oh, I assume they're narcs.
Okay, thank you. What is going on?
Yeah, you're the eyes of the boss.
Yeah, you bitch-ass bitch. Mm-hmm. What's going on with you? Well, you're always positive, and you don't want to get down in the mud with everyone else. He's a cop. If you're a cop, you have to tell me you're a cop.
Right.
No, it's true. It's part of the Constitution.
Okay.
You a cop?
No. You know I'm not. Yeah, I do have detective shoes on today. I could be Callahan.
You should investigate a place to get better shoes, is what I'm saying. But you were saying.
So anytime I meet, even like the most pleasant person around here turns. Like, and we've seen it. Like, oh my God, she's so sweet. She's the nicest. They all have this dark side that show
blah,
up.
Blah, blah.
And Kimmy's came out like super early.
Yeah, well, we ruined her. She was a sweet kid when she got here.
You started out.
No, I always feel like I bonded with coworkers. Like, because we bitched about everything. Yeah. Like, those were the people I was always closest to at work.
So she was just hiding her real bitchiness.
No, it was kind of one of those things where once you guys started bitching, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you came right in.
Yeah. I'm home.
Like, I already knew you. And you knew me.
Yeah.
We were pieces of crap.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. But I don't think bitching makes you a piece of crap.
I don't think
it's just a natural part of being in a community.
It makes you a person.
Thank you. Preach, brother.
Mm-hmm.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. This all comes off a brand new term called glossing. It refers to you glossing over the problems you have at your job. And what they are finding in this study, done by PhDs, bro.
Well, those are your top people.
That people in America are now afraid to complain to their bosses, to their coworkers at work about the work-life balance, the ineptitude. People are not using this as an ability to bond with each other. And either people have stopped complaining, or we in Rochester are the last ones doing this as opposed to every other community in America.
So that means like most workplaces are becoming semi-antisocial.
Okay, maybe work from home is having a
part of that. Could have a lot to do with it.
But there's so fewer people working from home now compared to a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
252-WCMF. All right, we've been rambling.
All right.
Let's get some bitching from other people.
All right.
Jay's on CMF. Hey, Jay, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, y'all. How's it going today?
Good, y'all.
So I'm going to give, like, the teacher spin to this. So on my team at work, I'm the old guy, all right? I've been in the schools for 15 years, but everyone else on my team is untenured. And basically what that means is you don't have the protections to not get fired, basically, until you get this tenure status. You got to work for a couple years, do a portfolio.
All right, so you're bulletproof. Everybody else isn't, is what you're saying, Jay.
Yeah, like on my team. Yeah, so that's the crux, at least in my building, where the young teachers on my team, they don't complain. They're nervous that the Board of Education, the principal, are going to get upset that they are frustrated about their situation. They complain to me all the time because I'm the old guy. But, you know, when it comes to the, like, complaining at work. There's plenty of complaining at work, but not to the bosses, at least in my school.
All right, that's an interesting take, because, look, I think the three of us here in this room, and I know we work in a different weird situation, but, like, if we had a problem, we could walk right upstairs, look at our boss, and be like, hey, this is a problem.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, the idea that the younger generation feels less secure in their jobs, that's keeping their mouth shut.
All right. But that's always been the way.
I don't know, man. Like,
when you were first coming in, nobody was tenured. I mean, you were just a kid with a job.
Yeah, I would also think, Jay, that people had maybe more respect back in the day for authority than they do now. But then again, like...
And by the way, when they fired you back in the day, it was ugly. There was no, like, protection. Like, when they walked your ass out or told you to get the hell out, there was no protection. Like, you watched it was like watching a murder.
Jay, do you trust the people at your job that don't complain?
No, not at all.
All right, good. All right, Jay, thanks for the call.
I don't teach trust.
Take care, Jay. Thanks for the call. We're all on a pirate ship together here, man. You know, here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
There is a double-edged sword when it comes to complaining to your coworkers, because there are those coworkers you have that will complain too much.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden, everything is someone else's fault.
Yeah.
Nothing they do is wrong. It's never a mistake they made. Mm-hmm. They are better than everyone. And it's really easy to get annoyed by those people.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are going to do this the right way, and we all agree that having some kind of bitching with your coworkers is essential,
yeah,
you have to be willing to bitch with your coworkers.
Give and take.
Yes, but not enough to where they think you're a dick that doesn't take accountability. Okay. Like, every once in a while, you have to throw your hands up and go, I screwed up.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And then bitch about something else.
All right.
Right?
All right.
Have a little self-awareness.
And then the other problem you may have with the bitching at work. Can you bitch yourself out of a good situation?
Oh, I'm sure you could.
What do you mean?
Not getting fired. But be a bitch so much at your job to your coworkers.
Prevents you from getting other opportunities?
No.
Okay.
You fool yourself into thinking that job sucks.
Oh.
When you're actually in a pretty good spot.
Oh, all right. You don't notice the cake.
You kind of lose perspective a little bit.
Well, look, we as human beings have a tendency to look at the worst possible scenarios every moment down the road. So it's not crazy to think that if you're bitching all the time about your situation, you could convince yourself that things are better somewhere else, only to get there and then find out, oh.
And that's usually the case.
Because I'll say it again, we have the best jobs on the planet, but we have watched people we've worked with over the years that just bitched and bitched and bitched. You know, it's part of like coworker bitching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They bitched themselves into thinking they were in a bad spot.
Yeah.
They left and
they tanked.
Whoops.
And I also think like those small things.
No support.
If you're dealing with them every day, they become like... They become big things that, you know, to your point earlier, like you take a step back and look like it's not really that big of a deal. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It could even be like something completely out of somebody's hands, like our phone's not working right or something. Well, if you're like if you're dealing with that every day, the level of anger you have towards a telephone grows to the point you never saw coming, you know?
Yeah.
And you never admit to it. Those people that get gassed like that, they gas themselves because you'll run into them 5 years later and they still don't see it or they don't want to see it. And they'll still complain about the same thing that they walked away from.
Whether or not they see it, they ain't going to tell you.
No, but you can see it in where you run into them.
So I guess maybe the key to bitching to bond and blow off steam is to always remember what you like about the job, right?
Yeah.
Like, keep that in your head at all times.
Your blessing.
Like, yes, this is what I enjoy, but I'm going to bitch about this stuff over here.
Always appreciate your blessing.
A cornucopia of feelings, if you will. I think the last thing we have to mention before we move on here about bitching at work with your coworkers, again, we're talking about this study done about what they're calling glossing, where you're glossing over all of the negative things at work. There's a new study that says people are not complaining anymore at their job, which is strange. Either that has changed 100% or we in Rochester are just great at bitching about our job. Are you careful about who you bitch around or do you
not care? Well,
you should.
Oh, I asked you a question.
Well, back in the day, no. But now because I'm so isolated in this room, it's easy. You know what I mean?
I am
so comfortable in this room, which is not good sometimes. Because what comes out of my mouth.
Oh, bro, you don't trust us?
Well, we've just been
waiting. I do.
Uh-huh.
But it could blow up in my face. People walk by with this door wide open.
Oh, true. That is true. We sometimes forget that.
Are you careful about who you bitch around?
Yes. You know how like there are those certain people that you work with, though, that you know just love their job? And, like, they will openly tell you, even if they don't, they still put on the face, like, I love it here. Everything's great. They're always, like, the first to volunteer for things.
Yep.
I'm not bitching to that person. because I don't know, you know, how they actually feel about things.
So is it because you don't trust them to keep it quiet, or you don't want to hurt their feelings?
I think it's both. Okay. Like I do think that sometimes, like, I don't want to bring down their happiness.
Because it's about trust with you and I. Like, mm-hmm. She's actually concerned about that person's well-being.
Yeah.
We just don't want to get narked on.
No, right. I assume that guy's a narc.
But Kimmy's right. I mean, you don't want to be the rain cloud. Because once you start bitching to the person that likes their job and enjoys the things that you find
and
annoying.
And you can tell pretty quickly if they're feeling it or not. Like, if they're into this conversation or not.
It is funny. You will find yourself, like, if you're new at a place or somebody new comes in and you've only been working together a couple days, weeks, month, you'll be in this bitch standoff where you're just waiting for the other one to say something so you can commence to the mutual bitching.
Right. But somebody's got to pop that cherry.
Exactly. It takes something big, and then, like, that big bitch, and then all of a sudden we start working down the bitch funnel, as I like to call it.
Bitch funnel?
Yeah, where all of a sudden we're bitching. Like, the windows aren't even clean. You can't even clean the damn
windows.
And
they're
not. What are you doing? How much does that cost?
Nothing. Windex?
Thank you.
Are you also worried about bitching to somebody new at work?
Yeah, I also don't want to,
I want to let them figure it out for themselves. Like, I don't want to put things in their head.
Right.
Nothing.
What?
Yeah.
No, I don't trust the new people.
No, it's not. Again, it's not about trust. It's about, like, welcome to your new job. This is gonna suck.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that to somebody.
Yeah. Sure.
I hear you, buddy. Okay, there can be a flaw in a good idea because you can't argue that this is keeping people who are vulnerable doing their jobs safe.
Absolutely.
Okay, but at the same time, when it takes this long to find out you screwed up, it's not going to have the safety effect I think people assume it does. Mm. Not to mention, you may be able to make an argument that not being aware you've been caught for something and continuing to catch that person for the same thing in the meantime is a little unfair.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting BF'd here, bro.
Okay, you're biased right now.
No kidding.
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. So last week, we shared a shocking story about old Leadfoot Tommy Bulet.
Yes.
So, if you listen to the show, you know that Tommy drives like an old woman.
Yeah.
As well as dresses like an old woman. And you were shocked when you got something in the mail.
Yeah. So, my wife goes, hey, you got a speeding ticket, I think. And I go, I never got pulled over. Like, no. So, she shows me the ticket. It's one of these tickets where they just caught you on camera, and there's pictures of your car and your license plate. Speeding. And it gives you the speed, but it doesn't tell you exactly where you are. It just tells you the general area.
Okay. And you were going?
I was doing 51 and a 40 in a construction zone somewhere on 490.
So it's 490 just past the Freddie Sue Bridge. Yeah. We'll get back to that in a second. So as we mentioned, every time these cameras come up on the show, they're not without controversy. Folks don't like the fact that they're getting busted without being pulled over. Some people have claimed the cameras have had malfunction, and that's why they got a ticket.
Yes.
And once again, folks say it's entrapment, people that don't know what the definition of entrapment is. And
the witch hunt.
There have been calls to make changes to the program. Well, Tommy, after your mail showed up again after the weekend... Mm-hmm. You were shocked to find again.
Got another one. Got it over the weekend. She goes, my wife goes, unbelievable. You got another one of these speeding tickets.
Oh, my God.
So what happens now?
So my first ticket, I was doing 51 in a 40.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That ticket was $50. Mm-hmm. This ticket, I was doing 53 and in the same spot. It's now $75. Ooh. So it looks like it's going up 25 bucks a pop.
And you don't know when this one happened?
Oh, yeah, it gives you, it tells
you
when. Okay,
so these were close together?
I think they were, I got to look.
Okay.
But here's the problem. Mm. You got the first one all the way back in late August.
Yeah, that's what I need.
So this is the way I go home every day.
So I'm sorry, you were caught on a camera in late August. Mm-hmm. You did not find out until a week ago.
Yeah.
So this second one, we would assume, is a day or two later.
Could be.
You didn't find out until October.
I could have multiples of these.
So you have been breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you knew what you were doing, but you didn't know what you were doing.
Bro, I'm creeping.
According to the camera, you weren't.
People blowing past me.
Yeah, were they? Okay. Well, tell it to the judge, but you can't because there's no judge.
Well, I'll tell you what. So I changed my routine now.
Oh, you
I'm not
routine.
A big change routiner guy.
What'd you do?
First of all, I'm done with the interstate. Done.
Yeah?
I'm done.
You stick it to Eisenhower?
Yeah, Eisenhower can kiss my ass. Thank you for your service. But I am done with... the interstate highway system in this country.
So you're going to take the back roads home every day.
So yesterday I did. Yesterday I went down. I had to weave through. So I went down Main Street to East to home.
Okay.
And it was perfect.
Okay.
I got home at 4:30. I haven't been downtown in a while. Man, they're doing a lot of stuff.
Looks nice, right? It looks really
nice. Some
of
them look pretty good. Yeah. So, yeah, so I legitimately did not take that road anymore because I don't know how I could have 10.
But that's
I could have one a day.
That's just it. Yeah. That doesn't solve your problem because you've already broken the law X amount of times without knowing.
No, but I want to stop the bleeding.
How about you just drive slower?
Yeah, but we also don't know how, like, do they still give you one if you're, like, you know, less than five over? Like, do you?
I think five was the limit.
I think five's the limit.
But okay. I've been, now, after you got that ticket, I've been doing exactly 40 through there.
Right. Exactly. But you ever driven 40?
Yes.
It's almost impossible.
Shut
up. On the interstate, think about it. Get out on the interstate and do 40.
But you also feel like you're holding up other people. There's a lot of pressure right there in the spot that you're getting it because there's so many variations for how fast people are going.
Okay, you're making a lot of excuses.
No, but everybody's jet ass and I gotta be old man now in a sweater going slow.
Like, it makes me nervous when people tailgate me.
Okay. Look, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Here's the thing. Personally, I'm very torn right now because I do think this sucks for you and I do have legitimate... I feel bad.
Do
I feel
you?
Bad.
Do you?
But at the same time, I want this to get to like 7, 8, 9 tickets. That would be so
Bro, it could go up to $1,000. It could be costing me $100 a day to go home. And I ain't got it.
So
bro, I haven't had I have not had a raise since the Wheeze Morning Zoo.
You know what? Slow down. Stop breaking up. The law exists for a reason. Slow down. Nobody wants to work anymore.
And it isn't like I'm reckless.
Bro,
51 miles an hour. Jesus Christ.
Really? Man. Because I see two tickets that would suggest otherwise. Okay.
The photo of my car isn't even blurry. That's how slow I'm going.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. I think here's where we're at with this.
Right.
With the construction camera tickets. Mm. You can have a good idea with some flaws. And there seems to be a bit of a flaw in this system. It would benefit everyone involved if the person who got the ticket was made aware they got the ticket within 24 hours of getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that the logistics behind that would be tough. Let me be clear. You don't have to send me the ticket within 24 hours. That's asking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be a way.
Give me a notification.
Yes, for the state to send you a text or an email.
They have all my information.
Yeah, you registered
the
car.
And now they really have my information.
Right, and this is less about protecting the person getting the ticket and more about the people you're trying to protect. And what I mean by that, Tommy, you were unaware that you were speeding because you thought that was a 55-mile-an-hour
zone. I'm crawling. I'm actually going under 55. I'm being a good guy.
And I think a lot of people in that specific spot, you're coming off the Freddie Sue Bridge, around that corner, I think everyone thinks it's 55, but it's not. There's another couple hundred yards.
Yeah.
So you're getting people in a weird spot there. But by not knowing you got the ticket, you're not slowing down for a month,
right?
Which puts those construction workers in danger.
It does.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Right.
So this is less about you and the people getting tickets and more about protecting the people that are working.
But let's take the monetary side of it. If they don't warn me for a month, they also are going to collect a crap load of money.
They are.
And by the way, they make it so easy now to pay these tickets off because you just go to their website because you get the notification with the pictures of your car in the mail.
Sure, sure, sure.
You just go to this website and boom. I've now done it twice where now I have facial recognition to pay this ticket. So they have all my information. I have a PIN number now, a permanent PIN number for when I get busted.
Well, don't forget that because you're going to need it like five more times.
I know. No, it's all automatic. It's in my phone. Like, it just logs me in now when I look at it. Go, it's you again. Man,
this is so great.
And I don't know what it does to my insurance. Like, it's one thing for the car to go up. Does it jack up my insurance?
Your car insurance.
Because that's what kills you.
You're asking the wrong guy because I have yet to get one of these.
No, because I got like
safe driver.
But I got like AAA. I also got AARP.
So many A's in there.
Yeah. Colostomy. Insurance. I have all the senior discounts right now, so my stuff is low thanks to the Gray Panthers.
Yeah.
But I could get kicked out of the Panthers. I had to get the jacket back.
Old Judas.
My silver sneakers.
Sorry. 252-WCMF.
Oh, rip.
Tommy got another construction zone speeding ticket, but he didn't speed again because these things are taking so long to get to people.
Right.
Tommy committed these two infractions in August. He's just finding out about them now, and he could have 7, 8, 9 more coming.
Oh, it could be every day. It could be every effing day.
I really hope that doesn't happen. There has to be a way to let people know that day.
There's got to be a cutoff.
No, why? Stop breaking the law. Stop breaking the law. We have to stand for something in this country.
I mean, it's low law.
Oh, the safety of construction workers is low?
I'm low speed, low law.
No, I'm sorry. Do you not really hurt somebody if you're doing 53?
I'm going so they can read my registration when I drive by.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Johnny. Hey, Johnny. How are you, brother?
Good. How you doing?
Good, Johnny. What do you got?
So, you know those construction zones going back and forth on 490? I got a couple connections within the family that are your for the police department, and I've noticed that, like, those construction zones, if you drive through them, there's no construction going on. It says road work 1 mile ahead. You go through the road work, and there's nothing going on. There's no cones or anything like that.
You're talking about on the Freddie Sue Bridge there off of 490?
Well, even past that, you know, you go towards Brighton, stuff like that, and then it just says road work ends. There's no dividers, there's nothing like that. So I asked a few of my cop buddies, and they go, yeah, some of those places are a little suspect, and they even asked a couple state troopers, and I'm like, yeah, they use that to catch people.
Mm. Hey, Johnny, now I'm going to throw
some
out there.
I'm being pitched by the system,
man.
Hold on,
I just want to throw some out there, because, Johnny, you seem like a really cool guy.
He's on the inside.
You sound like a really cool guy, Johnny.
Johnny inside.
Yeah. I will say this. You know, my dad was a cop growing up, and we've talked about on the show before, like, when I would watch, like, just people, like, walk up and want to talk the law with my dad, right? And he would just, like, say whatever to get him to go away. I'm just saying, Johnny. Just throw that out there. I'm just throwing that out. Johnny, I'm just saying for the sake of you. Just throw that out there.
Well, you can think what you want.
All right, Johnny. Johnny, have you gotten one of these yet?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, that's good.
I drive to work every morning.
Doesn't take a horse. Johnny, thank you for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. I do. Look, I will say this. Anytime I hear somebody go, my cop buddy, I am immediately suspicious of the information.
Well, you're on the inside, you know.
I'm not on the inside.
No, but your old man was a cop.
I've already gotten three or four conflicting phone calls giving me different information.
It was just so funny. Like,
who knows?
But like as a kid, I would watch my dad say things. Like, yeah, he just wanted to go away. I'm trying to get ice cream with my kid. Shut up.
I know. I wouldn't even know how to fight this thing.
You can't fight it. Because you know why? You can't fight City Hall when you're a lawbreaker. Break it up!
And by the way, this company is from Philadelphia.
You keep saying this like it's, what's the difference?
So I got to drive down to Philadelphia, go to their court system? Then they're going to say, no, take it with New York.
Doesn't sound like you can fight it.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can't.
No, there is a way. That was with something else.
Yeah, that's different.
The Honorable Judge Donovan McNabb.
I can't even defend myself, you call this a country.
You can't defend yourself because you can't speak and you're illiterate. That has nothing to do with going to film.
Hey, the law protects the dumb people, too.
Really? Read it.
Well, they should write it dumber.
252-WCMF. Tommy got another work zone speeding ticket from August that he just found out about over the weekend.
And it goes up.
He's down 75. I am excited to see how high it goes. Is there a limit to where they stop?
Because I wonder what you hit thing where it really jumps.
I'm excited.
I'm not.
252-WCMF. Again, it's not a bad idea. There is just one flaw. It would protect the folks that are working in the construction zones.
Right, because I'm speeding and not knowing.
Exactly. If the folks that got the tickets were to get a text or an email within 24 hours saying, hey, you did this, it keeps you or other criminals from continuing to get tickets and fines. It makes sure that the folks working are working around people that are driving aware of what they're doing. Let's talk to Mark. Hey, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, Mark.
So I smell a rat. There's something fishy going on here.
A fishy rat.
I'm telling you. So I got two myself. And here's the funny thing.
What?
51. And the next one, 53.
Look at that.
I'm talking to a guy at work, 51 and a 53. A buddy of mine, 51.
Let me guess the other one.
So,
I was going to guess that.
So I think that there's something going on here.
Is it possible?
Everybody got the same tickets.
Oh, it's also possible that people. Was it that same area we're talking about?
He was right behind me. I saw his picture. He was waving at me.
The pictures showing everything. Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible? Is it possible that people are just averaging between 51 and 53 miles an hour because they think it's a 55 and don't want to get the ticket?
I don't find it possible that the first one was 51 every time and 53 for the second one every time.
And that, you put those together, that's 104.
Yeah.
We have a 104 in this area.
But you were on 490.
Right. Think about that.
All right. Hey, Mark, when did you get these tickets in the mail?
About a week and a half ago.
Okay.
Last time you guys were talking about it, I had just gotten them.
So you could have five more coming.
settle down, Duffy.
No, I'm just saying.
No,
I'm
you, just, me too, because you don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. You guys could be.
I could, but I hope not.
Well, listen, I'm starting to ban the interstate group. We're done with the interstate.
I'm with you. Which way are we going?
We're calling ourselves the Backroad Boys.
Yeah, you look like a couple of Backroad
Boys.
Yes. Mark, no, the good news is.
This is the good news.
You and Mark can share a jail cell after your 15th construction ticket.
Probably get the chair.
No, they don't have one small enough for you. They would need a booster.
Oh, the booster shocker?
Yep. Mark, good luck, buddy.
I'm ready to go down there with you, and we'll fight City Hall together.
You go first.
I beg that both of you together go down
you
there.
You know I ain't
Please
going,
let
man.
Me videotape the arguments you two would make, the dumbasses, and I love you, Mark, you know that, the dumbasses you are. Let me tell you something, and then Tommy can't read. He's trying to say words.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
I'm wearing my Ribs Arkansas t-shirt, and I'm gonna go shake somebody's hand, pull them into me. I'm gonna.
Mark, good luck, buddy. Thanks for the call.
See you later, boys.
There goes Jet Ass and Mark. You and Mark, go ahead and comment. Let's take one more call, 252-WCMF. Again, Tommy has gotten a second construction camera ticket. He could have 9 more on the way. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do to avoid the issues, you have something over there, Kimmy, I'm sorry. Okay. All you have to do is find a way to alert the people that got the ticket within 24 hours. A text message, an email. Hey, this
happened.
Heads up. Yes, right? Mm-hmm. So people understand that they are doing something potentially dangerous. Josh has got the last word on CMF. Hey, Joshy boy. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Josh.
Good. I got my father-in-law just got a letter in the mail, and he's like, hey, I got to pay this thing. And I look at it, $250 ticket for the new school bus. Stop sign violation. Yeah.
But you know why he got it, Josh? He was speeding to tell his daughter how disappointed he is in her for marrying you.
Oh.
So he went around a bus with the stop sign.
Yeah, this guy, he barely drives the speed limit. I mean, he does 25 and a 35. And he gets this ticket, so I'm dying. And but $250, so I'm trying to figure out, you know, how did he do this? And he's like, well, the thing was yellow. It was sitting there, you know, flashing yellow. He slowed down. He's waiting. And then he goes to go through, and she hits the red.
Oh,
she baited him.
You got to be kidding me.
She baited him.
They're not baiting
Bro,
people.
Bro, they're teaching him how to bait him. Now.
Shut up. No, because there's people listening to this, and they hear you say that and be like, I heard on a broadcast.
Yep.
Oh, Josh, did you bust his balls for it?
Oh, absolutely.
Attaboy.
And Josh, then we go on and try to pay it. We couldn't even figure out how to pay the thing. It wouldn't let you log in or whatever you got to do, so now he's got to mail a check. So.
Well, talk to Tommy. He's an expert at logging in.
Yeah, I can get you in and out quick.
I'll steal your password, too.
Awesome.
Josh, thanks for the call, buddy. Take care. There goes Josh. Is there anything worse than listening to your father-in-law bitch about something?
No. Father-in-laws suck.
Oh, buddy.
What happened?
This story is proof positive that no matter how good-looking, rich, successful you are, you got to keep things together at home.
Oh.
Because if you don't, she's going to walk.
Damn.
And she might even be doing something before she's walking.
So this all came out.
You're hanging out in the break room, Ron's just Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. You know, we don't get to take a lot of joy in the downfall of Tom Brady because there hasn't been many downfalls, right? Mm. Guy goes from arguably the best quarterback in NFL history. He's also handsome, gets to marry a supermodel,
right,
and then walks right into a $250 million broadcasting job, even though he kind of sucks at it. But if we're going to be terrible people, we can all admit as Bills fans, we did kind of take a little bit of joy in his family breaking up,
right,
which is a terrible thing to say.
It's not good.
And I don't feel good about myself,
yeah,
but I'm an honest man. If we remember back to when Giselle filed for divorce from Tom Brady, which, by the way, was exactly 2 years ago this week.
Look at that.
Oh, look at that.
She was spotted with her judo instructor.
Right.
The rumors, she moved on.
Yeah, going out. Yep. And she vehemently denied that she was in a relationship with this man. She said that they were just friends and that he was her trainer.
Mm.
There were also rumors that she was cheating on Tom Brady with said judo instructor, which, again, she vehemently denied there is no romantic relationship.
All right.
Yesterday.
What happened?
Giselle announced that she and her judo instructor are 5 or 6 months pregnant.
Wait, he knocked her up?
I mean, bro. If
judo style, too. Upside down on the mat.
Moving on.
Wow. She's pregnant.
And new chapter.
And Karate Chop Joe is...
Oh, yeah. Choppy Chop.
Are there karate chops in judo?
Sounds about right.
That might be the one that's just tossing.
Yeah, I think. More wrestling.
Okay.
Damn.
Because so I know you had an assumption that she was going to come out and be like, have all this gossip and dirt on Tom Brady.
Yeah.
She didn't. She's moving on with her life.
So how old is she? I'm disappointed for her that, like, she didn't play the field more. You know what I mean? Like, she had the opportunity to go out and live the life kind of like Tom Brady seems like he's doing now. Mm-hmm. And she jumped right into a new relationship.
But, I mean, look, the woman has been able to do that her entire life. She's one of the richest women, like, in the world.
Oh, yeah. No, she's like, she's probably, remember when the Olympics were in Rio?
Yep.
And they, like, trotted her out. Like, she was, like, the most famous person in that country.
Didn't we find out her net worth is more than Tom Brady?
At what time possibly. It was, for sure.
Can we check
internationally,
that out?
Yeah,
who knows
sense.
What's going on with that cryptocurrency?
She's Brazilian, right?
I believe she's Brazilian, right. Yes.
I mean, she may have some... Yeah, it is weird, though. Like, this guy must have something going on, man.
Judo, buddy.
Hi-ya. Is that what it takes?
I don't know. Again, I keep hi-yaing. I don't think it's the same thing. But right. They wear karate outfits.
Mm.
Kind of. So, yeah. Kind
of
the same
thing. I know it's a lot of rolling around, which probably got her in trouble.
Oh, yeah. She's got a net worth of about $400 million.
Holy crap. She's got $500 million?
I don't know. I guess, then again, I don't know if that's with Tom Brady.
Well, no. They've been divorced 2 years.
True.
Right? Holy crap, she's worth $400 million.
Yeah.
I mean, way to go, judo.
You ain't kidding. Man, this kid scored. He's got some shop at a strip mall in Florida. Next thing you know, he's a billionaire.
Girl,
damn near.
You ain't kidding, man. So something interesting has happened. Tom Brady, so Giselle did reveal, or her people revealed, that she alerted her kids and Tom Brady. That she was knocked up a couple of months ago or weeks ago, so they wouldn't hear about it through the press. So she even did the classy thing right? She's not sticking it. I mean, they seem...
Well, that's been done already.
They seem that they are co-parenting really well. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, look, anyone that's been through divorce as a kid understands how hard that is.
You gotta play nice.
Right? Okay, so, and maybe they even get along. It was just a lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady, people are looking at him as a victim. In fact, there was an Instagram post yesterday he put up.
Well, he put up, you know, he took a picture of the sunset and he put lyrics to the song Landslide in there.
What were the lyrics, Kimmy?
I don't remember which verse he used.
Mirror in the sky, what is love?
Something like that.
Mm. All right.
And
then I see my reflection in
but I,
Joe Buck's
I,
face.
No, very interesting timing for that post is all I'm going
to
say.
And folks are making out Tom Brady to be a victim here, that maybe he was cheated on, that she moved on too quickly. And it is amazing how quickly we forget things that happened with Tom Brady in the past. Kimmy, you want to take this one or should I?
If you want to go from start to finish here, you
to
take it away.
Relationship-wise.
What
Tom,
do you do?
Well, Tom Brady and Giselle, I believe they have two kids together, and they were married for a while. Tom Brady met and started dating Giselle when Bridget Moynihan, who he was also dating, was pregnant.
Was he married to her or they were just dating?
They were just dating.
Okay.
So he bailed on her and started dating Michelle.
This is what apparently is the thing. Michelle, yes, he dated Michelle.
What's
and then name? And then Giselle after that. It was a real
quick turnaround. Oh, Giselle, not Michelle.
Yeah, no, Michelle Giselle. Je suis honey, we're so awful. Giselle.
I hear she's from Brazil.
Yes.
Yeah, she's Brazilian.
Yeah. Bridget Moynihan was pregnant with his child.
And she had to be a smoke show.
She's a smoke. When she gave birth, he was dating Giselle.
Right. But they weren't in a committed relationship. He just knocked her up.
No, they were in a committed relationship.
Well, I mean...
That's what I'm telling you.
They weren't planning to get married.
Okay, but they were in a committed relationship.
I am surprised.
She may have been planning to
Thank
marry
you.
Him.
I love that. Like, how do you side with Tom Brady here?
I am surprised that he... Like, she wasn't on birth control. Like, they had this... Like, did he even... Was he intending to knock her up? Was it an accident?
Oh, hold on. Let me text Tom real quick and see what he says. Hey,
it sounds like he wasn't planning on knocking his chick up.
Again, you know nothing about anything. And she could have been on birth control. Lots of things could throw that stuff off.
All right.
I mean, they were together for some time. It's not like it was... You know, people. They were known to be together.
Okay, but
like,
I don't hold that against him how we... I mean, that's
fine. I don't know what the person...
She was fine with that.
No, and that's fine. That's their personal business.
So I don't think you can use that particular thing against him.
But the point I'm making, I'm not trying to use it against him. The point I'm making is, how do you make out Tom Brady to be a victim when his ex-wife gets pregnant 2 years after she files for a divorce, whereas he was having a child with another woman he was dating while dating Giselle?
Because
it's way worse for Tom Brady!
And it seemed like she also wanted to keep the relationship. I mean, she did leave him, it sounds like.
Giselle,
but she, you know, he kept going back to football and she was kind of like, hey, you said you were going to quit and you still are at it. Like, this, you know, I've been a single parent at this point for so long.
By the way, single parent with the money. She's got like she's working them kids every day.
But if she's
I mean,
first
it could
of all,
be.
Do you think them beautiful Brazilian hands ever touched a dirty diaper?
No, but it could be a lonely life. I mean, if he's constantly away for half the year, you know what I mean? That would take a toll on most relationships.
Give me that money and let me be lonely.
She don't need that money.
And it was time for him.
She don't. She's got him net worth of $400 million.
And he faked her out. He faked her out because he said he was retiring. That said, psych.
No, he was very good at that with the defense.
No, he wasn't. He was one of the least elusive quarterbacks of all time. Look, man, I mean, it sucks that this works out the way that it does for these kids, right? Like,
yeah.
It's going to be a rough run.
Yeah, hope they can get through it.
But, Kimmy's right. I mean, she was vocal about her fear for his safety right before he retired. He says, I'm going to be done. That lasts, what, 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. And then he goes back. He moves the whole family to Tampa Bay. Yeah. She's got to uproot her life and go do that whole thing with him. She supports him all the way. He goes back for another year, and it seems like that might have been the last straw. It's also possible
that
Tom Brady is such a weirdo behind closed doors, because he's already a weirdo with doors open, that it just gets to a point where you can't take it anymore.
Yeah, but like these high functioning dudes, you got to accept some of this stuff.
No, you don't.
I mean,
not if you.
There's
not
a reason why. The reason he got to this level in his life,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't just being a regular guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he had to really be hyper focused and kind of weird.
Sure.
I think we're finding that out with most.
Sure.
Great men have great flaws.
I wonder if Giselle could identify with that in any way. You know, like being like hyper successful from a situation where
bro,
you wouldn't expect.
Standing there in a bathing suit. Don't take a lot when you already got a beautiful Brazilian body from your parents.
There's 10 million Brazilian women. Why? She's the richest one.
Hey, God gave you a beautiful...
I'm guessing
you don't think she works on that?
I'm guessing she's pretty good at what she did.
Oh, she works on it a little too good.
For God's sakes, man.
Either way, you're at the top of your field no matter what
absolutely.
You're doing.
Absolutely. But it ain't a sacrifice to be a Super Bowl compared to the NFL.
What are you talking about?
There are plenty of examples of women that have suffered greatly being in that industry.
And you can name 1,000.
Because you can't have bread.
You can name 100 football players. Name 10 supermodels. It's way rarer to be a successful supermodel than it is to be an NFL star.
Hey, the modeling game's tough and it's vicious.
I'm just
saying. Those girls are mean to each other.